Okay, let's get started. Father, bless these words to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Okay, we're going to continue where we started. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Word of God says in verse 41, there is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. When we get to heaven, not all believers are equal. We will differ in degrees of glory. And the degree of glory will be manifested as a light. And some believers will be as a bright, magnificent light. And some believers will be like a little penlight. But the degrees of glory will be different. And if you could peel your physical body off of you right now, then you would have a soul body. And your soul body has a degree of glory to it. There are some believers sometimes that I run into, and you can swear that you can already see some of their degrees of glory. Because there is a certain luminescence to these people, like an aura about them. And it's not like a subjective or weird thing, it's just like they glow. But it's almost like you can see some of those degrees of glory already. For example, a guy I would like to have here, actually, a friend of mine. He had for like 17 or 18 years, he had been a pastor in China. And he had an underground church there. And he and his wife, they kind of radiate. There's certain like luminescence to them. And I swear, if you could peel away their body, that you'd be blinded because of the degrees of glory. And we will get these degrees of glory because they are a portion of the morning star. Now, in 1 John chapter 5, and the B part of verse 4 says, and this is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith. The morning star order, as we said before, is the order of the overcomers. It is the highest order in heaven. It is those that reign with Christ. And it is those that have suffered with Him and walked in faith in that suffering, that have not yielded to that suffering, that have not run from it, and that held fast to their faith in God. They walked in faith rest in that suffering. And faith rest is simply where I have faith of God in my heart from the Holy Spirit, so that even though there may be a storm and the boat is in the storm, I am sleeping in the bottom of it like Christ on the sea. And He had faith rest. I don't worry, I simply know. Or Daniel, when he was put into the lion's den, went to sleep. He had faith rest. He didn't worry, oh God, I'm in the lion's den, please come rescue me, what am I going to do? Yeah, he went over in the corner, he was kind of tired, and he took a nap. So, okay, finally I get a break. And he was fine. He had faith rest. It is the same faith that when the Hebrew boys were put in the furnace and say, if I perish, I perish, but God is more than able, show me the furnace. And they found Christ there. It is the faith that will preserve me in the suffering, because I know that God has a purpose for me and that His love for me is greater than the hatred that has put me into the furnace. And so I have faith rest because I trust my Savior. I mean, if he had died for me, what is it that he is not willing to do for me now? If he laid down his life for us, what is it that he will deny us? Remember, the valley of the shadow of death is only a valley of shadows. It's not a valley of death. So I don't look at the shadows. I look at the brazen serpent, and I keep my eyes fixed, and I have faith rest, because I know that my Lord is more than able to deliver me. And if he does not deliver me, which is an option, if he does not deliver me, then I will go home. I'll go off the mission field, so to speak. I'll simply go home. And waiting for me at home is a mansion that he prepared for me. Now, if you think you could plan out a good mansion, imagine the mansion that God can plan for you. But you have one, and it is waiting. And as long as you are on earth, it is under construction. And it's waiting there for you. And the day you go home is the day you enter your mansion. I don't know what it will look like, but I imagine it will be quite glorious. Because God prepares it. Anyway, in 2 Peter 1:19, the Word of God says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecies, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart." You see, the morning star order is given to those people who already possess it. The day star is another name for the morning star. The morning star order is given to those for whom the day star has arisen in their heart through a more sure word of prophecy, through categories of doctrine brought on by the Holy Spirit as rhemas in a person's heart, specific revelations for their life from God. And when this is what I live in, and I can live in this as a practical reality on a moment-by-moment basis, when this is what I live in, then I already have the morning star. I already have in my heart that with which God will reward me. It is already my possession. And if the day star is arising in my heart, then I have entered into Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Word of God says, "He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." The tree of life is a tree that not every believer will be permitted to eat at. But it is God's plan for every believer to eat from. It is only for the overcomer who will eat at the tree of life. Now, the tree of life was originally planted in the Garden of Eden. And it was planted there because it was God's tree. But Adam was allowed to eat from this tree because it was a tree that God was sharing with Adam. And it was a tree that implanted life to the believer, special portions of doctrine and revelation, special understanding that you would not have without eating at the tree of life, and a deeper insight into God's nature and character through His Word that would not otherwise come if you did not eat at the tree of life. And the tree of life is in heaven, and it lines, there are actually more than one tree of life. It's a type of tree. And it is found in a river that flows from the throne. If you look in Revelation 22, in verse 1. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of nations. So there is a river that flows from the throne of God. And that river, along the banks of it, there are trees of life. The Morning Star crowd will be able to enter into this garden where the throne is and eat of that tree. While all believers will be able to approach God at the throne, not all believers will be able to partake at this tree, only the overcomers. And the reason why the overcomers will be permitted to partake of the tree of life is what we were just talking about in 2 Peter 1:19. It was by eating of the tree of life that the day star dawned in the heart. You see, this is that more excellent word of prophecy. It is a greater word of prophecy than commonly understood. It is the prophet. It is this, the proclamation of the word, such that the word is a tree of life. Now, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life in Proverbs 11:30. If I have God's righteousness imparted to me, and it becomes my experience through the word of God, then the word of God that I have consumed is a more excellent prophecy. It is a prophecy, it is the Word of God producing life in me, so that is a tree of life, and that my fruit is a tree of life to others. It is the love of God shed abroad in the heart through the Word of God. It is the life of God freely flowing through the believer who receives life from God. It is a tree of life. And this is the believer, the one through whom life flows from God, that when he gets into heaven, he will eat at that tree, and he will continue with the more excellent word of prophecy. He will understand God like no one else will. I personally believe that he will understand God better than even the angels. Nobody will fully ever, I don't think, understand God. But some will understand him better than others. And being the bride of Christ, being the elect, and eating at the tree of life, it will give us a closeness to the Savior that could not be had in any other way. But it will only come to those who have suffered with him as well, because that tree of life springs up as life in the midst of suffering. It's like you said, Andrew, earlier today with the day star. Right? It is only in the morning that the brightest stars shine. Like, that is where you will find the brightest, is in the morning, because the dim ones you can't actually see. See, if you have a light, then God wants to illuminate something. What is light used for? It is used to bring illumination into darkness. Yet believers run from darkness. I mean, I know people are taught at home, don't go into darkness. Don't do things that are difficult. Don't go on the difficult mission field. Don't go to Africa or Asia. Don't go to India, God forbid, you might get, like, who knows, leprosy or something. Right? Don't go to Africa, you'll get malaria. You know what, stay in America, you might get hit by a car. When we eat at the tree of life, those are no longer our considerations. When we eat at the tree of life, it is my will, not thine be done. Other way around, thy will not mine be done. That's right. a carnal believer, my will not thine be done. But what is it that feeds the tree of life? It is the river of life. And it flows from the throne of God. In John 4:14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. It is the water of life. And the tree of life comes when I have been bathed in the water of life, and that is what feeds it. If I stop being bathed in the water of life, if I stop drinking the water of life, then the tree of life in me dies. Let's go to Revelation 2 and verse 10. This portion was addressed to the church at Smyrna. The church at Smyrna was a persecuted church. First was Ephesus, then was Smyrna. Ephesus was the church from about the year 30 to year 300. It was the apostolic church. Smyrna was the persecuted church starting at approximately the year 100. And it was highly persecuted. Smyrna Christians were frequently killed. There are still churches like this today. Smyrna churches still exist in countries like Sudan. But in verse 10, let's start in verse 9. The Word of God says, I know thy works and tribulations and poverty, but thou art rich. It's interesting. He said to Laodicea, you think you are rich, but you are impoverished. He said to Smyrna, you live in poverty, but you are rich. And he's not, of course, talking about physical poverty necessarily. That is not the qualification. But these people were rich in their poverty. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear not those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt at the second death. There are two promises given to this church. Overcomers receive the crown of life, and overcomers will not be hurt at the second death. Now, the word fear there is phobos, and it's in the present middle imperative, and it means to put to flight, to be terrifying. And the middle voice indicates that subject and object participate in the action of the verb. So we could say, do not respond to the terror that is produced in you through suffering by fleeing the situation. Now in James 1:12, the Word of God says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I think there's an interesting link there in James. Temptation is trial. It's not temptation to sin, it is trial. It's a testing. It is interesting to me that God had chosen to link love for God with trial. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Notice that person is blessed. Blessed are you when men revile you. Blessed are you. Blessed is the man who endures trial, who endures persecution and suffering. Blessed is the person who is accused. Why? Because he is accused because he loves God. If he did not love God, he would not be accused. My trials do not come because I have done something wrong. My trials come because I am walking with the Savior. If they hated him, will they not hate us also? Oh, absolutely they will. And if ultimately I am not being persecuted in some way, it may not be persecution like being thrown in a fire, thank you. But if it is not some kind of person like people speaking ill because of who you are or because of the testimony that you have, where do you think that that comes from? That comes from the warfare because Satan does not want the Christian to be fruitful. Why? Because souls might get saved. Because people might be discipled. So blessed are you when you endure trials. And because you endure them because of your love for God. That's why they come, because of your love for God. Christ endured trial. And they said the same things about him. Like, what surprise is it if they say it about us? People think that you have to be an upstanding member of the community and not have anybody say anything bad about you. You know what? The only upstanding member of a community there is the one who's upstanding in the kingdom of God. And what does upstanding mean but standing up? How many Christians do you see standing up for the kingdom? How many Christians will put their neck on the line for the kingdom? Their reputation, what reputation? God forbid we ever have a reputation. You know why? Because Satan gives you a reputation. Yeah. It's part of the world system, isn't it? Our reputation. Oh, you're on a good reputation in the community. Yeah, the community. Only reputation I want from the community is, hey, you're going to hear the Word of God there. But blessed are you when you endure trials. Because you get the crown of life. Suffering is not without reward. Suffering is not vain, and it is not empty. It comes with the crown of life. It comes with eating at the tree of life. It comes with closeness to the Savior. It comes with rewards. Our momentary light affliction, right, is just a momentary light affliction. Revelation 2, and verse 11, it says, "He will not be overcome. He that overcomes shall not be hurt at the second death." And then in Daniel chapter 12, and verse 1, the church is raptured. The word rapture there comes from the Latin word harpazo, it's from the Latin, but it comes from the Greek word harpazo. And in the original language, we are not delivered in, en in Greek, temptation. We are delivered out of, ek, tribulation, in 1 Thessalonians. There is a tribulation that we are appointed to. And this tribulation is the tribulation that will give us the crown of life. But there is also a great tribulation. And this is the tribulation that is the 70th week of Jacob's trouble. This was described in Daniel. In the 70th week of Jacob's trouble, these weeks of Jacob's trouble, 69 are already completed. The week of Jacob's trouble were time periods in which God dealt with Israel. There were 69 weeks. The 70th one is called the week of Jacob's trouble, in which the wrath of God is poured out on first on Israel for having rejected Christ, but then on the unbelievers for having rejected Christ, on the rest of the world. We will be taken out from that time. In Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. We are not appointed unto wrath. We will not be hurt or affected by the second death. Now, the second death is ultimately the separation from God, but the influence of the second death starts at the tribulation. We will not be here for that. But that is only those who trust in Christ. Those who do not trust in Him, they will go through it. And we will be delivered in the first resurrection if we die prior to that time. We will receive our bodies again and will be delivered from that wrath to come. There will also be a second resurrection for those saints who God saved during the tribulation period. They too will be reunited with their bodies, but at a different time. Now, during the tribulation period, the persecution will be immense. There will be 3.5 years of a false peace, where Antichrist is set up on the throne, and he becomes essentially the ruler of the world. It is the time when the revised Roman Empire is put back. The European community is the precursor to that. And the temple will be back in place in Jerusalem. And work has already begun on rebuilding the temple. As a matter of fact, it's modular. The pieces are already there. It is a time when people will not be able to buy or trade unless they have the mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast is already planned. And in some respects, the preliminary portions of that are already in place and being used. This is a time that's coming very quickly. But for the believer, we will not be here. For the believer in Revelation chapter 4, we will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we will be having a marriage supper while the world is being judged by God. There will be 21 judgments in a span of 3.5 years. These will be brutal judgments. These judgments, in one judgment, a third of the world's population will die. In another one, another quarter will die. These will be brutal judgments. The demons that are currently in hell, the ones with the bodies, will be released for a span of 3.5 years. And their anger will be poured out on humanity. And God will allow it for rejection of Christ. And the armies ultimately will line up against Israel. And at this time, Israel will be attacked a couple of times. Once it will be attacked from the north, from the area where Russia is currently. I don't know what will be there then. But it is the place called Magog in Gog. Or is it the other way around? Gog and Magog. No, Magog and Gog. And Magog is Moscow and Gog, Russia. And their armies will attack Israel, and 3/5 of their army will be destroyed. But that is not yet the time of Armageddon. When Armageddon comes, Armageddon will be the gathering of the world's armies in the valley of Megiddo, which is a valley outside of Jerusalem, right? Yeah. And the armies will gather there, set to attack, and God will come down, Christ will come down and touch upon the earth, and He will come down to the Mount of Olives. And when He touches the Mount, the force will be so great, because this is God in all His splendor coming down to the earth, not as no longer as merely a man's form, but God. The power of that touch will be so great that the Mount will be split in half. And He will speak the words, and the armies, the soldiers, as He speaks the word, their bodies will burst. And the entire valley will be 6 feet deep in blood. Israel will not perish. Israel will remain. I don't care who attacks Israel now. Israel will remain. God forbid the United States ever turn her back on Israel. Oh, Israel is not right with God, but they are God's chosen. And they will never lose. Israel will not disappear again, ever. Everybody else will, but Israel will not. And even past the millennium, Israel will remain. But those who believers, those who are believers, those who have put their trust in God will not be touched by any of that. Now, in Revelation 2:17, the Word of God says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone. And in the stone a new name, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." In John chapter 4 and verse 32, and then again in verse 34, it says, "But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Jesus saith to them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." Hidden manna is referring to a specific provision and insight into the Word of God that's given only to the morning star crowd as it eats at the tree of life. And it gives empowerment in the finished work for service of God. Like when the Word of God turns into faith, and the love of God empowers me to walk in faith in service to my Savior, I have hidden manna. This is not manna that comes to anybody. This is the James 4:8 4:6 greater grace that is given to the humble. This is the hidden manna, the special portion that comes of a faith fellowship with the Savior, where the love of the Savior and the love for the Savior is exchanged, where I receive from God and I reflect back to Him His image. And when that love is imparted to my heart, it's shed abroad, and I have hidden manna that quickens me to walk in faith, to have faith obedience with faith rest. And then if God asks me to go somewhere, because I live in my position, I'm not afraid to go. If God who's asked me to do something because I live in my position, I'm not afraid to do it. I am energized by the Holy Spirit, and then I am able to do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That is the hidden manna. It is the strength to my bones. In Isaiah 45:3, the Word of God says that there are riches in dark places. No, funny thing about dark places, in Psalm 91, Christ Christ is found there. As a matter of fact, when we learn to walk through the dark places in faith, knowing the love of God, the dark places become our refuge. There are people who would rather go through a dark place than be in a place where it is easy. It becomes their refuge. And although it is a dark place, and although the place may be difficult, it is a place where they find fellowship with their Savior. And it is the place where they are hid under the shadow of the Almighty in Psalm 91. And they are hidden under His shadow, not under His light, but under His shadow. See, it is the valley of the shadow of death that turns into their provision for fellowship with Him, because He is in the dark place. And that's where they make their refuge. How do you do that? Well, you can't do that if you don't have hidden manna. You don't do that if you don't have a special provision from God. And this is the provision that is given to the Morning Star crowd. In Revelation 2:17, it also says that He will give him a white stone. And in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And the white stone there, in the original language, it's Sephan Lucan. And this is an old word for a pebble. And it was used in the courts of justice. And the black pebbles were given for condemning, and white pebbles were given for acquitting. And the new name there, this is a white stone with one's name on it, and it was used to admit people to entertainments. It was a ticket. And if you had this white stone with your name on it, you were admitted to these events. Well, if God gives you a new name with a white stone, then He is admitting you into the Morning Star Order. The whole thing speaks of the finished work purification, which allows the believer to enter into the Morning Star Order, and is a reflection of how God knows the true identity of the believer according to the finished work. That is our new name. And our identity is written on our acceptance into the Morning Star Order, because it is the finished work produced in us and then revealed through us. And 1 Peter 2:4 says, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God as precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up into a spiritual house and a holy priesthood." We are lively stones. Now, the Word of God says that the cornerstone was the one that was rejected. But the cornerstone is not alone. If the cornerstone is alone, it does absolutely nothing. But the cornerstone needs to be supported by the other stones, and the cornerstone holds them together in their place. See, when I walk in the finished work of Christ, that Christ has finished for me as the cornerstone, I can be held in my place. And I can serve. And how do I serve? What is the purpose of the stone and the cornerstone? Well, the purpose is to form an archway that serves as an entry. If I serve as an archway with my Savior as an entry, then who am I? I am the soul winner. Because I am the entry for the lost into the kingdom of God. this is why it says that the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, because it causes me to be a stone associated with the cornerstone to serve as an entry. And he that when it souls is wise. I know how to use the finished work in my life, and the result of it is I lead people to salvation. I become a gate for the lost to enter into the kingdom of God, because I have walked in the finished work of Christ, and I get the morning star. In Revelation chapter 3 in verse 5, the word of God says, "He that overcometh shall, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And the white raiment there is talking about the highest degrees of glory. It's the morning star crowd that shines the brightest. The morning star is the one that you see the brightest in the morning sky. It is the believer who receives the highest degrees of glory, because it's the believer who has the closest fellowship with the Savior. And that is the believer who has the morning star. And he puts on that glory like a garment over his soul body. And his name is confessed before the Father. And it is confessed before the Father because we did not deny him, and he will not deny us. If we deny him, he will deny us. And what is it that he will deny us? He will deny us the morning star. But if we do not deny him, he will not deny us. And he will confess our name. And the name that he will utter to the Father is the name that he has given to us through the finished work. And as we come to the Father, he will introduce us. And we will be told, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, I don't know about you, but to me, those are the most beautiful words that can ever be uttered. When God looks us in the eye and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That is the morning star crowd. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, we're almost done. "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, the New Jerusalem is a temple. It is a city that is 1,600 miles by 1,600 miles. And it is also 1,600 miles high. And the entire city is a temple. And we are pillars in that temple. And that means that we cannot be shaken. Now, this is significant because it was written to the church in Philadelphia. And Philadelphia was a city that was notorious for earthquakes. And this is the believer who walks in faith and cannot have his faith shaken. It is the one who has great peace because he loves God's word, and nothing can offend him. When I love the word of God, I become a pillar in the temple. I become like a pillar that cannot be shaken, that upholds the temple in New Jerusalem. And the new name that is written on me there is not the same new name as the stone. It is a name of possession. It is saying, this one belongs to me, and God writes his name on me. And on me will also be written the name of the Holy City, the Eternal City, the New Jerusalem. And what it is saying is that I belong to God, and I belong in a city. And the city that I belong in is the city that I am native to. I am not native to the earth. I am native to the New Jerusalem. That is my home. And that is where we belong. It is the place where I find my acceptance and my belonging and my place. It is the place where I belong. It is the New Jerusalem. And the name is written on me. It is like when you hear somebody's accent, it's, oh, you are British, or you are French or German. Ah, you are New Jerusalem. We are New Jerusalem. And we will have that name written on us because we belong there and we are God's. And finally, in Revelation 3:21, the Word of God says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. The morning star crowd, the order of the overcomer. This is the order that will rule and reign over the earth that we have overcome, just like the Savior. And how is it that Jesus overcame the world? The world killed him, but he rose again. He overcame in the resurrection. When he rose from the death, from the dead, that is where he overcame the world. How do I overcome the world? But to have resurrection life in me. And how do I have resurrection life in me? But I pick up my cross. I die unto self. Reckon myself dead indeed unto self. Pick up my cross, and I allow His life through His Word to produce life in me. And now I have the life of God, the resurrection life that has no beginning and no end. It is the resurrection life believer that sits in the throne with God, in Him, and reigns over the world. It is the resurrection life believer that will have the faith to overcome temptation, that will stand in the furnace and not run, and say, if I perish, I perish, but my God is more than able. And when we come home, we will enter the throne room of God, and we will see a full circle green rainbow. It's like an emerald. And green is the color of grace. And we will pass through God's grace to get to the throne. And when we come home, He stands at the throne to welcome us. And if we have overcome, then we will receive the morning star, the highest degrees of glory, to eat at the tree of life, whereby we develop an understanding that is unique only to that group of believers, and a closeness to the Savior that no one else can have. And we will have this in heaven because we have had it here on earth. It's almost like the Lord's Prayer. On earth as it is in heaven. Amen.